lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land. By your grace then I have found, Lord, let my feet on higher ground.
It's a good life. Coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Many local churches today, I believe, should be called the lukewarm local social club instead of the local church. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 16, the Bible says, "So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." And I've said this before, a lukewarm local church is the result of being led into apathy by its leadership. Well, let's look at that word apathy. The secular definition of apathy is this: emotional emptiness, inability to feel normal or passionate human feelings or to respond emotionally. Well, I believe a Christian definition of apathy would be this: spiritual emptiness, inability to discern or really care about or who or what is right or wrong in spiritual matters, not able to respond spiritually because of spiritual immaturity. See, when I think of an apathetic Christian, I think of one who blindly follows the compromising, world-pleasing leadership of a local church. As a result of following this type of leadership, the lukewarm Christian becomes a compromising, world-pleasing follower of the leader who conforms to the world instead of being transformed by the renewing of the mind. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Dr. Henry Morris has written the following. He says, note that Christ would prefer not only a hot church like Philadelphia, but also a cold church like Sardis to a lukewarm, neutral, accommodationist, comfortable church like Laodicea. He goes on to say at least Sardis was not harming anyone because it was not influencing anyone. That's the way the local social club is today. They're influencing people, not in the right way. Well, why do churches become apathetic? I believe it's because of leadership. When the leadership of a local church ignores admonitions found in the Bible, compromise and complacency result. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13, it says, "Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus." Titus chapter 2 and verse 1, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." Titus chapter 2 and verse 7, "In all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity." And then we read in Titus chapter 2 and verses 11 through 15, it says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee." A lukewarm congregation is the result of church leadership that accepts the actions, methods, music, entertainment, and anything of the world that detracts from or takes the place of the Word of God. Conforming to the world and following the ideas of the world because we live in a different time will eventually give that lukewarm church a different name, Ichabod. 1 Samuel chapter 4 and verse 21 says, "And she named the child Ichabod, saying, The glory of the Lord is departed." We as people who represent a holy God, should never have it in our minds that we are going to win to Christ the world, that's the unsaved people, by being like them. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17 says, "Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." Some churches accept the worldly entertainment of someone who performs, calling themselves Christian, a Christian performer. Some people and some churches look for this. They call themselves Christian. Those people are not listening to the Word of God. Proverbs chapter 7 and verse 10 says, "And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot and subtle of heart." 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 9 says that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety. When a woman stands on the stage in the auditorium that churches are calling their sanctuaries now, and instead of the pulpit, they're calling that a stage. When a woman stands there scantily clothed, then that woman, one day, Christian or not, will have to give an answer for that. Women are aroused by touch. Men, on the other hand, are aroused by sight. Only God knows how many men are led into temptation by observing a woman who is scantily dressed, gyrating, dancing around like a nightclub performer. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 28 says, "But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart." Many saved people have become anemic because of their unwillingness to listen, to pay attention to the warnings of God found in the Bible. And I believe the King James Bible is the Word of God. The King James Bible does not contain the Word of God. It is the Word of God. There's not just a few verses that make up the Word of God, that is the Word of God. The whole Bible, the whole King James is the Word of God. Jude chapter 3 says, "Ye should earnestly contend for the faith." Jude 4 says, "For there are certain men crept in unawares." We keep reading in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 13 and 14, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore." What are Christians? I believe according to the Word of God, we are ambassadors. We are ambassadors of the Lord, according to 2 Corinthians 5:20, where it says, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." We are not to be ambassadors of the devil, although it would appear that there are some saved people who desire to be his ambassadors. When Christians and preachers of the Word take on the role of being compromisers of the Word instead of confronters of the world, they in essence have relinquished the authority of God, that authority that God has given them as his representatives. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15 it says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2 says, "Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." I believe one of the reasons that people have gotten so far away from God is they've gotten so far away from his word. Preachers are not preaching the word of God. They're preaching fairy tales that does not even uplift the word of God or God himself. And people of God need to be able to preach the word. Now, I don't mean you have to stand in the pulpit to preach. I mean that you need to be instant in season, out of season. You need to be ready to give people an answer of why you are different, why you are a Christian, and how you became a Christian. Tell them how to be saved. We've gotten away from that in the churches today. What's important to exhort those who believe the word to act on the word, and that's what I'm doing now. It's important for people to understand the word of God is important. It's also important for the Christian to be able to exhort those who reject the word of truth to receive Jesus, the truth, by being ready always to give the reason for the hope, the assurance that is in Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15 says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. You see, we have been chosen. We've been chosen by God to be different. We sometimes get it in our minds that we have to be loved by everyone. Sometimes Christians are led to believe that the only way to reach young people is to be like them. After all, we live in a different time, modern times. Well, the Bible teaches us that if you are a Christian, that's Christ-like, you are to be different from the world. If you are saved and following biblical teachings for your everyday life, people who are not saved will actually not like you very much. And I might add, some saved people will dislike you as well when you follow the Lord and stand up for biblical convictions. The Bible even uses the word hate to describe what the world thinks of the person who is saved and not conformed to the lifestyles and actions of the world. John chapter 15, verse 19 says, "If you were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you." Don't think that everyone's going to love you simply because you're a Christian. The Bible teaches us that, just as I've read, "I have chosen you out of the world," Jesus said, "therefore the world hateth you." Why? Because they do not know Jesus Christ as Savior. Some Christians get it in their minds that the unsaved must love them or like them before they can win them to Christ. Well, this notion is absolutely wrong. In fact, nowhere does the Bible say we have to be loved or to be like the unsaved to win them to Christ. What the Bible does teach is that we are to love the sinner, not the other way around. Although we cannot love as God loves, we can follow His example of loving the lost person. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 10, it says, "Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." And that familiar verse, John chapter 3 and verse 16, it says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Love the sinner and hate the sin. When we try to be like the sinner and conform to the world, we are no longer loving the sinner as Christ did. Where there's a change that supposedly takes place when a person gets saved. And I say supposedly because some have not been saved. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 through 11. Let me say that just because a person calls themselves a Christian, that doesn't mean they're Christian. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11 says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." Some would say, well, then who is going to heaven? Well, the person who trusts Jesus Christ is going to go to heaven. The people who look down on people that I've just mentioned in these verses 9 through 10 of 1 Corinthians 6, they look down on these people because they think there's no hope for them. I'm talking about a Christian who thinks there's no hope for those people. But notice what verse 11 of 1 Corinthians 6 says, "And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." God can save anyone. He's able to save the person that is lowest down, that person who's in the gutter, that person who does not know Jesus Christ, who has possibly cussed His name. God can save that person, but He uses Christians. We need to give out the Word. We don't save them, but the Word, as it goes forth, lets them know that Jesus Christ is the Savior and that Jesus Christ can save anyone. Call on Him today if you don't know Him, and ask Him into your heart. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.